Welcome, Jets fans, to this, the Round 8 preview of the Jets stream. I'm your host, David, and here today to discuss the Newcastle Jets versus Perth Glory on Sunday the 13th at 5 p.m. Two guests. It's a man who we heard from last week, and he's back for backing up, I guess, for the review this week. It's Wen. How are you?
I'm all right. I've come through a slight hamstring strain from the last time, but yep, I'm back on, ready to go.
Better than a back injury, mate, from carrying the team. That's all I can say. And we've got our super sub. We've called him in off the bench. It's our playmaker. It's Mitch. How are you?
I've already been on one pod this year, so like it's a very short gap between pods for me. So when you were saying he was on last week, I was like, was it that soon? Like,
I'm very careful about saying this, but you are the Ledley King of the podcast. That you play one game, and then you get injured and you're out for a while, but then you come back straight into the starting lineup. But I'm careful saying that to an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, but the only good thing that ever happens is when I'm there.
I don't know. Let's just, yeah, why not? That sounds great. It's good for your self-confidence, Mitch.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Gents, we've been discussing off-air the opening question, and we really didn't have a good answer for the one that we had planned. So we're going to default back to Monday, well, the Tuesday pod's question, because you both went on that pod. So, Mitch, what food do you associate most with Christmas?
My father-in-law's like quadruple smoked ham. Sorry for any vegans listening, but he does some wondrous thing where he smokes it more than the average bear, and it just ends up pretty much the best ham that you've ever had. And then he just like gets all the
Simon meat Hill
juices
of hams
and whatnot. Yeah, exactly. And he gets like all the meat juices and whatnot and produces this gravy that somehow is different every year, but somehow is just as good as the other year. And so the ham and the gravy are my Christmas foods.
Ham and the gravy, okay. Glenn, what about you?
Well, I'm going to get completely different. Everybody so far has said savoury. I associate custard with Christmas. I know you can get it any time of the year, but I go ham for it. No pun intended.
Talk us through that. Is it store-bought carton custard? Is it homemade?
Yeah,
custard?
It's just not homemade. Just store-bought in a 2-litre milk container. Just pour it out cold. Just fill the bowl up.
Yeah, right.
But you're a bowl and spoon man. You don't drink from the carton.
I have done that, but when I'm sharing with other people, I don't.
But while those people you're sharing with aren't looking, you just go hell for leather.
It's just, I don't know. Like I said, it's a food you can get any time. I guess any Christmas food almost that you can get any time, but I put on probably 5 kilos just in custard weight over Christmas, I reckon.
I saw this meme the other day, and it said, like, December 24th, and it had a picture of N'Golo Kante, and then it said December 26th, and it had a picture of Akin Fenwa.
Yeah, right.
Strong upper body forward. Look, I'm going to add to my selection because, well, you know, I can. I'm going to add the Pudding Lady pudding, Christmas pudding from Adamstown. I don't know if those that are locals and know the puddings that the Pudding Lady puts out, they run it out of the church just at the top of Brunker Road and Glebe Road. Those puddings, oh my God, yeah, awesome. So that's another one that I'm going to add to the list. So, mate, and I think it would probably go well with custard.
Yeah, I definitely would.
All right, guys. Well, enough talk about Christmas, and it's making me hungry. We need to talk about this game. We'll have a look at the stats beforehand. The Jets play the Perth Glory this Sunday, as I mentioned, at 5 o'clock. There's been 39 matches between the two teams. The Jets have got 8 wins. The Glory have got 23. We have drawn 8 games as well. In Newcastle, there have been 20 matches, 5 wins to the Jets, 11 to the Glory. 4 drawn. Average home crowd of 9,215 at McDonald Jones Stadium. Goals in the fixture, 43 to the Jets, 76 to the Glory. First goals, 13 to 24. Cards in the fixture, Jets 83 to the Glory 62. Recent form, Jets have earned 7 points from their last 15. The Glory are so far undefeated this season and have earned 11 points from their last 15. Leading scorers for both teams, Ronald Vargas for the Jets has 2. Chris Economides is currently on 5. The last result was at McDonald Jones Stadium in round 26 last season, where the Glory went out 2-0 winners through a Castro penalty in the 9th minute and a Taggart 27th minute goal. Guys, Mitch, wow. It's
Did you just say that, like, they've almost double scored us at home? Like, was it like 43-70 something?
No, that's total goals in the fixture, 43-76. So on average they beat us 2-1.
Wow.
Look, it's our second match at home, but we did actually come out victors against the Brisbane Roar, as we discussed earlier in the week, Mitch. Do you think that gives us some sort of hope, some faint resemblance of opportunity in this game?
Oh God, if it doesn't, I don't know what will. Like, I don't know what's going to get the team firing otherwise, so bloody better do.
I mean, Glenn, the Jets in the recent couple of years have experienced, they've broken the hoodoo of the longest, or one of the longest winless streaks at any ground, and that was against the Glory at home. But we actually haven't experienced a win against Perth in Newcastle since November 2011. Does that give you any cause for concern?
Well, it definitely does. I mean, we always have trouble with Perth no matter where, but especially away. But as you say, even at home, we don't fare too much better. And it's only, I don't know, the stats over the course of, 14 years now, they're there for a reason, and they show a pattern, and some records are made to be broken, but I don't know, especially with Perth playing so well, it's scary looking at those numbers and how lopsided they are.
As I mentioned earlier, Mitch, Perth are currently undefeated in the A-League, and I think that there's fair comparison between the renaissance of Perth this season and the renaissance that the Jets also experienced last season as well. It's been a long time since we've defeated them. Do you think that the travel for them, because it's quite a difficult place for Perth to get to Newcastle, they're going to have to fly into Sydney, get a bus, travel that up to Newcastle as well. So it's quite an extensive, it's a day lost of travel, essentially. What sort of factor do you think that will play in this match?
Honestly, don't think it'll play a major factor. Like, Tony Popovich, he's a master planner. He's thought about this even before he took the job on. Like, he notoriously has one of the fitter sides in the comp usually. He's going to have those guys firing. They're going to be fit. And, you know, they lose a day or whatnot, but I'm confident he would have planned for that. He did wonders in the Asian Champions League, which was far more travel. So, and they're doing it every second week, and they're doing it consistently at the moment. So I don't think it's that detrimental to them that much at all, to be honest.
Perth have actually scored against the Jets in 14 consecutive A-League matches, but we've kept 2 clean sheets in our last 3 fixtures, Glenn. Do you think that we are a chance perhaps of counteracting a relatively free-flowing Perth Glory that we've seen so far in the A-League this year?
I think the clean sheet that we've just kept will instill some confidence in the back five, including Moss in that five. So with Keogh being the point man, he hasn't scored, I think, in a couple of weeks now. They haven't been short of goals. I mean, they only just got the one with Economides, who is, as you said in the intro, their top scorer. So they don't necessarily need Keogh to score, but I still feel like he's the greater threat. He scored a lot of goals in his career. So whatever, he's not in a rich vein of form, we've always got a chance of holding them scoreless. So I think if there was ever a time to keep them scoreless, everything's lining up for this weekend. That being said, I wouldn't put my money on it.
I mean, the last time they were here, I mentioned it was a 2-0 loss to the Jets, Mitch. By that stage, though, in the season, we had just come off the defeat to Adelaide. And we had, but we did have second place wrapped up. And Ernie Merrick's teams have been traditionally known to, I guess, take the foot off the pedal as once a certain spot or a spot in the finals have been secured. Do you think that the team that is mostly the same for the Newcastle Jets will be looking at that fixture and reading into it, or do you think that we'll just take that as it was and it won't play a consideration in this match?
We have to be, like, we are chasing everything at the moment to go from consistently top two or three last year to now we're, what, just cracked the six and, like, the first couple are kind of getting away. We have everything to play for, and this is prime Merrick time for us to start playing for it.
Oh, mate, I thought you were going to keep on going there. Sorry. I mean, how do you think Ernie Merrick's going to have handled training this week, Glenn? Do you think he would have been working on the defence, the attack? Where do you think, after a quite complete performance from the team last week against the Roar, he would have been looking to work with them on in preparations for Perth?
When it comes to Perth, I think it's going to be a lot of games like this, I suppose, but it's going to be about the midfield and who control that better and distribute the ball to the danger men in the front third, also break up the opposition attack. So, you know, there's no real need to change anything defensively, especially after a clean sheet. I think just more of the same. I mean, set pieces is probably a good thing to look at defensively. But I'm sure they do that every week. I mean, they don't just like, okay, well, this week we'll work on set pieces. Sure, they may have some sort of specific ideas for certain opponents, but I feel like it's just more of the same and probably more about combinations in the front third, especially with Kane Shepherd getting off the mark and Jair as well. So it's probably more about that interplay between the midfielders and the front three that I'd suggest they'd be working on through the week.
Mitch, do you think that, as Glenn mentioned there, the interchange between the midfield and the front three that Ernie would have been working on, is that going to be the key to Perth Glory disrupting that rhythm in the middle of the park that we'll see them, that they'll be working on to have some success as they visit Newcastle?
Yeah, for sure. Like, both sides have very solid, sturdy centre-backs, and so nothing's going to come from crosses in this game. It's all going to be from long-range midfield build-ups. So either side, I think, is very much going to focus on shutting down the midfields and the interplays, because I don't see much love coming from, you know, catching people out behind the ball and that kind of thing. It's all going to be a big midfield battle in my eyes.
Glenn, many tip Perth to be competitive this season. But I think that it's probably safe in saying many of the pundits were picking Sydney FC to maintain their position at the top. Melbourne Victory certainly be competitive along with Melbourne City. But Perth, after seven rounds, sit on top, and as I mentioned, they are undefeated. Do you think does that surprise you? And do you think that they would have been surprised as well by how well they've started this season?
I think you made a good comparison with us last season and then this season. It's quite a similar trajectory. Like, none of us expected the start or the finish, to be honest, of our last season. We were hopeful of you know, some good signs and a good showing, but to get what we got was above and beyond any expectations, I'm sure, of the average Newcastle fan. I feel Perth are probably feeling the same way. I mean, the good thing they did, and it was similar to when Merrick came in, was the amount of time that Popovich has had to bed in and get the players that he wants in and have a full pre-season. I really, it was a good comparison that you made, and it draws a lot of parallels, our season last to theirs this year. I'm not saying they'll go as far as we did or maybe even one better. They very well could. It's a long season, but I feel like they've started well. It's a matter of staying the course now, but hopefully we can upset the apple cart on the weekend.
Mitch, Perth have so far managed to get into the position they have without relying on the talismanic player that they've had over the last couple of seasons, Iago Castro. He's returned in the last couple of weeks and has scored, I think it's two goals, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you think the flexibility and the depth of the Perth squad is something that is seeing them experience early season success?
Well, firstly, I'm never going to correct a stat man because that's just playing with fire. So I won't do that to you. But it's a bit of an unpopular opinion, but I'm a massive Neil Kilkenny fan, and I think he was a massive pickup for them. And
I say Warren Joyce, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I like out of the ordinary for me, I did a tiny ounce of research into this before I came on the pod tonight. And Kilkenny has the most touches out of the whole Perth team. Like, he's by far and away the person that gets the ball the most. So I feel like he's dictating the play more so from behind more so. And then their second and third touches are Jason Davidson and Ivan Franjic. So it's the wide guys. So they're basically starting from the back and making everything happen from there. So the moment that they get their Castros and like their, you know, Economides and Keos firing more together, they've got such a solid base. And then it's just so good for them going forward that they're so sorted backwards. So I think their depth there is really helping them.
Have you seen, Mitch, the impact of Tony Popovich on that Perth Glory team so far?
Oh, I think, like, it felt like they've had a pretty poisonous culture over the years. And, like, there's been a lot of reports suggesting pretty much that. And the first thing he would have done is says, no more of this. Like, from what I understand, Diego Castro, like, he had a contract that made him miss pre-seasons regularly, and they said no more of that. Like, I think it's just a massive culture shock for them.
Glenn, does the impact, the very immediate and sustained impact that Tony Popovich has had on this Perth Glory side surprise you?
No. I do feel like he lost a bit of his touch at Western Sydney in the later going. So whether he's just a fix-it man and sort of a short-term coach, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe he can sort of stamp his authority on Perth in the long term and create a real force over there. I'd be interested to see A, if he's still there in two, three years, and B, what sort of state it's in. But yeah, he's really good tactically, and from all I've read and seen, and his team's performances, especially in the ACL, as Mitch mentioned there, he's well suited to the management style, and the man management, I suppose. So there's a lot of egos over there to try and sort out. It seems like at the minute he's doing well. Whether that gets out of control in a couple of years, we'll wait and see, I suppose.
The Glory's formation, Mitch, is one that I probably haven't associated with Popovich before, a Popovich team, actually. I'm interested to see your thoughts on how the Jets will line up in their approach, because traditionally A-League teams line up with a 4-2-3-1 formation, or there or thereabouts. Perth Glory have been lining up over the last couple of weeks with a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3 or a 5-3-2. A 5-2-3, I think that adds up. Yep. Anyway, they've been lining up with 3-5 at the back, right? And that's something that's a variation in the A-League. It's something that's different. And last week, Melbourne City actually tried to match them with their formation, and they came unstuck. Is Ernie going to stick with the Jets' traditional formation of a 4-2-3-1? Or do you think he's going to adjust to accommodate for the Perth Glory's formation lineup?
Well, I put the main reason down to his 3 or 5 at the back. I think they're much the same thing. Sorry for any formation nerds, but they're identical to me. But like I was saying before, other than Kilkenny, the most touches in the team have been Franjic and Davidson. So he's got two, you could say current or you could say former Socceroos as his wide backs. They're good enough forward and they're good enough back. And that's why he's doing that, because they're exploiting teams down those sides. I predict that Ernie won't change too much, but I'm hoping that he's going to focus on defensively not being caught out on those wings, and basically just finding a way to exploit them once they've bombed forward. They're a tough defensive side. They've got a solid base. Like Alex Grant's been on the bench for them, who's a terrific player. So it'll be interesting. I think I definitely think that the crosses into Keogh against Bogard and Topor Stanley, they won't come off very well. Like Aloisi the fraud tried it with Enrique on the weekend and it just didn't work. So I think it's
Aloisi versus Topor Stanley is one of the funniest things I've seen on a football field in ages.
But I think we basically just have to line up to try and not get caught out with their width, because that's their main key, and that's probably the main thing we've been lacking this year is our width. So it's interesting to see the comparisons.
What about you, Glenn? How do you think Ernie will line up and look to respond to the, as I predict as well as Mitch, that Popovic is going to line up with at least a three at the back, and the width provided by Franjic and Davidson?
I actually think, I don't think formation will change, but I think personnel might, or just the positioning of certain personnel. And I think we may see the return of Hoffman to the left-back role, just because he's got the motor to get up and back. He presents an attacking threat so that Perth's right-back can't cheat and has to also get back themselves.
Yep.
But he's also got the motor to track those runs back defensively for us as well. So I'm not saying Vuitsa did badly. He did well last week. But I just think you can count on more of that from Hoffman and a sturdier defensive base as well, without giving up that attacking threat. So that's probably the one change I can see. I don't think Ernie really changes formation and style of play, especially not at home, for anybody. I kind of like that. Now, I'm not saying it works every time, but I feel like teams should, especially at home, you should feel like other teams should adapt to you, not vice versa.
Mitch, how important is the role of our wide players going to be this week, and also probably more pertinent, the role of the screeners, Ugarkovic and Kandarovski? Do you see the role of those two holding midfielders not so much as screeners in front of the back four, but more supporters for the wide defenders this week?
Oh, for sure. I think, like, yeah, I was saying before, it's going to be a midfield battle. I reckon our holding midfielders are going to be the busiest people on the field. How much they get dragged forward to try and stop Kilkenny, who's quite deep, versus how much they're getting exploited in behind by the likes of Castro and Economides and those kind of guys. It's just lucky that we've got, you know, two or three holding midfielders that have a lot of guts about them and dig deep for our team, because I don't think they're going to stop. If Ugarkovic isn't man of the match for us, I'll be very surprised already.
Mm. Well, before we get on talking about the Jets lineup, I just want to talk about a key point around the Glory that's been making news this week, and that's the Glory's crowd numbers. There's been a lot of... The Fox Sports podcast, for those that listen to, Daniel Garb was quite critical of the Perth Glory faithful, and it was also mentioned, I think, on the Destruction in the Box podcast that the numbers have been down, and that the Perth fan base need to realise that they've actually got a really good team here, and they need to get behind them and support them. I mean, given our experience last year, we were having crowds between 8,000 and 10,000, very similar to what Perth are experiencing at the moment. Do you think that it's a bit unfair, Glenn, the criticism that Perth have been receiving for their crowd, or do you expect, I guess, after 7 rounds and the success that the team's had, that they'll continue to build?
I think it's another parallel that can be drawn between our season last and theirs this season, because they've seen new dawns before. They've been promised new dawns before, whilst this is probably very different, and they're seeing the results on the pitch. There may be some families that are just sitting back waiting to see, you know, if the bubble's going to burst, or when the bubble's going to burst. So, yeah, I feel like it'll build as the team continues to rack up points, especially at home, and And maybe some people who might have seen their faith wavered will have it restored. So, yeah, it's eerily – I'd never thought about it until you've mentioned it at the start of the pod, but it's eerily similar, the situation that they're in as ours was last season as well.
Mitch.
But, Dave, like, I was just thinking, sorry, Dave, like, we've been through pure hell and we've had pretty consistent membership numbers. And then you look at, like, how dominant Sydney FC have been and they haven't had – much more of an increase in crowds. Like, do you think that, I guess, the Fairweather fan in Australia isn't really there anymore and they've kind of, you know, you're either a fan or you're not by now? Is there a bit of a vibe about that in the whole of Australia?
No, I think that people will show up for entertainment purposes. I think that if it's also value as well, people will attend. And certainly Newcastle, we have the cheapest memberships, and that's not to say that our football is cheap, but we make it affordable for families to attend. That's because Newey rocks. But, you know, I think it's a bit harsh, certainly after seven rounds, to be calling the Glory crowds out for their perceived low numbers. I think that's a bit rough, given while there has been criticism of Sydney FC, and you rightly point out, Mitch, that their crowds have been... For a team that had 2 years of sustained success, they weren't necessarily breaking any records in terms of crowd attendance. I think Glory's numbers will continue to grow if they continue to maintain the success they've started the season with, as we saw ourselves. And I guess I'll put the next question to you then. The Jets probably played their best game last week of the season against the Brisbane Roar last week. And I thought the crowd was a little bit disappointing. Yes, it was a hot day. It was a Sunday afternoon. We're getting close to Christmas, yada, yada, yada. We can always make excuses about why people don't show up. But I'm expecting the numbers to build from last week. Do you expect the same?
Honestly, not really. Like, it's two Sunday arvos in a row. It's not variety enough. Like, I've never responded personally to Sunday arvos. And I feel like the fans that go to them do go to them regardless. So I don't see a massive difference this week, to be totally honest.
Mick, Glenn, what about you, mate?
Well, I was one of the ones that didn't attend last week due to, I could have gone. I was at home. I just got home just before the game after an afternoon of running around. And, I definitely could have made it. I made the executive decision not to go. I don't have any excuse. So I'm not going to make one now. So, I'm sure there's other people like me, but, I'll definitely be there this Sunday. So the crowd will at least build by one. So there you go.
Yes.
Well, I'll be bringing the family again. I'm not sure whether there are kids on the field this week, but, that was fantastic.
There is, yeah, there is. Laurie's mentioned earlier in the week it'll be on again. So.
Fabulous. I'll have to bring a ball this week for my kids to play around and kick with. So that's awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, let's get into some of the fun parts of the pod, the lineup and the predictions. Jason Hoffman was out last week. He was replaced by Kane Shepherd, Glenn. And Lachlan Jackson was replaced by Ivan Vujica. Do you think that Shepherd and Vujica will retain their spots, or do you expect a change?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, I think Shepherd will, because I don't see how you can it's not much of a reward for a young bloke to come on and score in his first start for a new club and reef him off. Especially when Hoffman hasn't been hitting the target in that role, and as I mentioned before, I think just purely on a tactical standpoint, I think Hoffman will return, but in his more natural fullback position in place of Vujica.
Left back,
but
or that's right, the
I think he'll go left, and Georgescu will stay right.
See if that's the approach that Ernie's going to take. I don't think that he will, but if it is, I'd actually swap them. Hoff's more natural on the right. Georgevski can play on the left, so I'd be swapping them personally. Mitch, what about you, mate? Do you think do you agree with Glenn that Shepherd will retain his spot, but Vujica will be back on the bench?
I was just listening to Glenn being like, oh, you know, young guy does really well. You can't really drop him. And I'm like, Gary Van Egmond's listening to this podcast just screaming, drop him, you idiot, of course you can.
Drop him.
It'll do his confidence.
Have you never heard of Craig Goodwin?
Jesse Pinter.
Taylor Regan is definitely playing this weekend, bitch.
This is the hardest part of a coach's job.
You show good hustle, Shepard.
That's why it's so hard to cut you.
I actually predict it'll be the same, but I think that is Lachlan Jackson injured or was he just left out?
No, he has a broken nose and he was struggling to breathe, which is vital for life. But it was more in an aerobic capacity.
Yeah, right. If he's fit, I actually predict that Ernie will chuck him back at left back. Like, and I think that he'll get him to sit a bit more to kind of stop the attacking wideness of Perth. But I don't see any major reason to change, really. I think, you know, Shepherd's done nothing wrong, and there's going to be a lot of competition in those front spots, particularly now that Roy's pretty much a certainty to come back and score a hat trick against the Mariners. So, I really hope that at training they're having a real dig at each other, and I hope that whoever trains the best is kind of the person who gets the gig, really.
I too expect Sander Roy to come back and score a hat trick, but we'll talk about that next week. I can appreciate where Glenn you're coming from. I actually think that the back four, given that they kept a clean sheet against Brisbane, will be retained. So before the three of us all differ there, but that's okay. And look, I'm just taking for granted no one's dropping Glenn Moss. Cool.
No. I don't think there's a reason to drop him for the rest of the season. It's not like we have Jack Duncan on the bench anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm taking it just for granted that Ugarkovic and Kantorovski are the two holding midfielders for you both.
Yeah.
Yep.
That brings us on to then to the front four. You're both setting up in the 4-2-3-1 formation?
Yep.
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 So who are your front four? Glenn, we'll start with you.
I would say, so Dimi at... Dimi on the right.
Yep.
Ronnie at 10.
Yep.
So Shepherd at the point.
Are you keeping Jamie? Yeah. I guess that's the question.
Yeah, I will. I would keep him. Especially
so your change is Hoffman for Vujica.
That's it. That's all I'm changing. Okay. But who knows? That's it. I know that's a step in the dark. That's just, I'm not saying that's going to happen. It probably won't, but that I could see it happening. It wouldn't surprise me.
People disregard what Glenn says. This is the place where you come for all the breaking information on your Newcastle Jets. Mitch, what about you? Do you agree with Glenn that we'll start with an unchanged front four, or do you think Hoffy will be returning to the front line?
No, I think it will pretty much be unchanged. Maybe Hoffman will come in as a winger, and then Shepherd will be dropped off, maybe. I don't think they'll... I don't know. I really don't know. I kind of still like Bodes' theory about playing Ronnie as the false nine, particularly when, I guess, like, our top nine striker this week won't get a lot of love in behind the defence. So it's got to be a lot of, like, interplay like you were talking about before. So maybe, yeah, it'll probably be the same, but I still hold on hope that Ronnie could be a false nine.
All right. So what's your lineup, mate?
I think it'll stay the same.
All right. I also agree. I think that it's going to stay the same. I don't think that I'm actually naming an unchanged lineup personally. I don't think after the performance we saw last week that it would be that Ernie will look to change anything. I guess it just seems to see how Vargas pulls up, but that's how I'm lining up. I mean, thinking about how then Perth line up, we look at some of the key matchups. You got the front three of Economides, Castro and Keogh versus our back line. Glenn, how do you think that they're going to go with that that very dynamic and free-flowing front three?
Yeah, I think the centre-backs will be fine. I think it's going to come down to the full-backs as far as cutting off the supply. So that, yeah, as I sort of mentioned, that's my main theory behind potentially the reintroduction of Hoffman at the fullback role. Mm-hmm. So as was mentioned in the review pod on Tuesday, Vuitsa did great, and you can see the attacking output that he provided. I still have some questions about his defensive, not his work rate, but his technical ability sometimes when he comes up against an equally a technically gifted winger on his side. So, yeah, I'm sure he could do a job. I just inherently trust Hoffman more in the defensive capacity, and I think that's where the game's going to be won and lost on those as far as Perth's front three on the wide positions and now back four in their wide positions.
That's still like super good point, Glenn. Like I remember last year, I feel like I'm Vuitsa's biggest fan, but Daniel Azani absolutely destroyed him both times I saw him play against him. And so if you get someone like Economides or Castro being one-on-one with Vuitsa a lot, it seems like he gets caught out a lot. Like he's, like you're saying, the technically gifted player against him just destroys him. So if you're Popovich and you were smart about it, if Vuitsa's playing, you are putting an absolute like gun against him.
Yeah, and I'm the same. I love Vuitsa, I think he was one of our best players, especially at the start of last season. But fell away once he came up against teams that attacked him consistently. So, who knows? He could have improved that. I haven't seen him come unstuck this season, mainly because he's only had the one start. But yeah, I guess we'll wait and see.
Mitch, one matchup that we're not going to be able to see is any of the Jets players probably up against Matthew Spiranovic after he went off injured in his return. I guess the question around that is, are you okay?
Yeah, I was desperate for this. I'm like Spira's biggest fan ever. He's Lubo reincarnated.
You're Spira's biggest fan.
Oh my God. I just, like, all of the Socceroos' woes would be answered if he just stayed fit and stayed with like a decent club choice at club level. He's so good, and I
guess the Jets, mate. Like the Jets,
yeah. And it's just, I guess it's good news for us that he's not playing, but they've got really solid like replacements for him. So, oh God. I didn't think – I wasn't ready for this question. I was more ready for the opening question I hadn't heard than this one.
See, I actually think that it's a bad thing that he's not playing for us because that's a sub that the Glory have to use if he does play.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, so I'll put the next question to you again then, Mitch. Shepherd's probably going to come up against Shane Lowry, a player who's in form so far this year, flanked, I guess, by probably Alex Grant and Thomas Masella. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
How do you think Shepherd is going to go against these experienced and at times international defenders?
I think he's going to get absolutely destroyed. I don't think we're going to give him the proper service or whatever. I really see no love in that top third for either team this week. I think a lot more will come from a bit further out, a lot of long shots, that sort of play. So, I think Shepherd just needs to do his best to defend from the front. They very clearly play the ball out a lot to Kilkenny and the two wide guys. So I think he's just got to channel his inner Brendan Centrelab and just be an absolute pit bull up front and just be as much of a menace as he can.
And finally, Glenn, we'll go to you. Kilkenny versus Vargas. How's that matchup going to go?
Oh, Vargas will tear him a new one. Yeah.
You reckon?
Yep. I reckon he'll skip past him more than he'll, yeah, he'll be, Kilkenny will get a yellow card within the first 25 minutes.
Okay. Because Mitch is on.
They're two classy players. They're two classy players. I think it's a great matchup.
Because Mitch is on, we're going to do a bold prediction. So, all right, Mitch, give us your bold prediction for this game.
Ooh, I'm not prepared for this one either. I will say that My bold prediction will be I will spend the entire of the game searching the stands for Mats Baranovic in the hope that he travelled over with the team. And if I see him, I'm going to buy him a maxi bond because I love him so much. And and if that happens, I'll get a selfie and send it to everyone.
Cool, cool. Nice. Yeah, very bold. Glenn, what about you?
Well, I'm gonna stick to on the park, you know, if that's okay.
Mitch's will be on the park as well, trust me.
Oh yeah. When the kids go on the field. I hadn't thought about this either, but maybe Joyita score a double.
Ooh.
Whoa.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. I know it's bold.
I asked for bold, mate. I asked for bold, not unfathomable.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how your celebration can escalate from, you know, quite literally just punching the air. Oh, that was incredible. He was, yeah. What do you do now? Just play it cool? Like, it's no big deal.
Have you noticed that Sam Kerr doesn't do a backflip twice kind of thing? Like, yeah, I don't know what he's going to pull out for the second trick.
Yeah. Probably your cigar out of his socks, start smoking it at the corner flag.
Who was the? I can't remember. I've been trying to remember his name, and I haven't got the spreadsheet open in front of me. But who was the Jets striker that came in after we won the grand final that had the mask shoved down his pants?
Zura.
Edmundo Zura. That's it.
Yeah, but he was told he couldn't do it, so he didn't. But he was known for that in the Brazilian league that he was from.
Jets fans missed out either way. My bold prediction: Neil Kilkenny gets a red.
That the guy that. Oh, a red. Wow.
Yeah. Well, Neil Kilkenny would get a red because he takes down Vargas. Vargas will just absolutely skin him. Yep. So, anyway, predictions for the match. Glenn, what about you?
I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet, but I think we will get a win by the odd goal, 2-1.
Ooh. Mitch?
I think your stats don't lie, and you said earlier it's basically your 1-2 loss.
Yep. I'm actually, well, look, one point we haven't discussed is actually, despite the Perth Glory scoring a shitload of goals, they've actually conceded 7. We've conceded 8 so far this season. So defensively, they're not so sound as well. I'm going to pick a 2-2 draw. I'm going to pick a 2-2 draw. Yeah. Cool. So, very good. We will probably be wrong, but anyway, that's people won't remember this. So, who am I kidding?
I think you picked the score last week, didn't you?
Did I really?
2-0? I think so, from memory.
Well, I'll take it. and I'll go from there. We'll move on now to the W League. We mentioned earlier, on the review pod, Glenn, that the Jets are now sitting in second last position, and it's a crucial match for them this week against second place Perth Glory on Saturday at 10 p.m. How do you think the Jets are going to go up against Perth Glory and most notably Sam Kerr?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough ask, especially after, by all accounts, what was a lackluster? Is that the right word for it, I guess? I'm not sure. Performance last week at home. Yeah, I mean, I can't. It is important, but I feel like the season's slipping away, and being such a short season for the women, I can maybe see them getting a draw if they play well. So I'll say 1-1 in the hopes that happens.
One player that is looking to return to the team is Aaron Wright, having sustained hamstring tightness and was rested from the game last weekend. The midfielder will look to return to the Jets team, and I think that's something that's long overdue. Mitch, do you think that she can have the impact that we were looking for against Melbourne City last week?
To be honest, I didn't watch the game, and I don't know enough about the girls. So what do you think, Dave?
Yes, mate. I think that we missed her. We missed some energy and some presence in the midfield, and I said that on the review show. I think that Aaron, the energy she provides in midfield is something that's going to cause Perth some problems, and I hope that she can certainly we can at least get 70 minutes out of her as a result. I mean, Craig Deans, Mitch, will be looking for a response from his team, though. It was a disappointing 3-1 loss. The girls were they turned the ball over easily, as I mentioned on the review. They looked to just hit the long ball on what was a very hot day. But Perth will be the favourites, and Newcastle tend to respond well with the underdogs tag. Do you think the Jets are good to take something away from Perth?
I don't really know. Like, I've never really got a lot of inspiration from Craig Deans, to be honest. I've never vibed that he's the right coach to get that kind of reaction from his players. But it seems like they've got a lot more experienced players and better players nowadays. So if that can't get them revved up, I don't know what could really.
Glenn, the Canberra United, Melbourne City, who both sit above the Jets, and Western Sydney, who are currently last in ninth, all have the bye this weekend, and the Jets have their second and final bye of the season the following round. The difference between Perth in second place, they're on 9 points, to the Jets in eighth, they're on six. It's a really tight table. I mean, a win for the Jets here, and it could propel them, it will propel them above Canberra at the very least, with Brisbane and Sydney to play as well in different fixtures. But the Jets could really jump up the table here and maintain contact with that top four.
You're right. I mean, and the top three haven't lost. They've had a few draws, and that's why they've been held so close to the rest of the pack. But it is really tight, which is good for us, because you know the couple of losses and poor showings that we've had early in the season haven't hurt us too much, because other teams around us have been taking points off each other as well. So it is a huge game, but you'd rather do it. So was last week against Melbourne City. I mean, the pressure would have been off if we'd just got 3 points or even 1 point from that home fixture on the weekend. So whilst ever the performances and the points aren't coming our way, the pressure's just going to exponentially grow. And Perth's a hard place to go, no matter the league, whether it be A League or W League. And they're again like their A League counterparts. They're in good form. It's really tough. It's really important. But you know, like I said, I think a draw would be great over there for us. A win would be even better, but it would just go against all other, you know, factors, I suppose, that we've seen coming into it. It'd be totally out of the blue.
Mitch, do you think that there's risk in the Perth Glory, in the Jets paying particular attention to Sam Kerr? Do you think that they'll look to just shut her down completely? Or do you think if they do take that approach into the game that it will actually free the other players up in the Glory to take advantage of the space that would create?
Well, like, Sam Kerr is such like a worldwide known name because she's an absolute weapon. Like, she's just got severely good technique. She's good to watch, and I feel like no matter how much attention they're going to give her, she's going to do pretty well anyway. So I guess it's definitely a gamble. Do you play more defensive and have two people on her? Do you just ignore her and let her run riot anyway? Like, it's such a tough call to make, and you know, anything can happen with any other player as well. So it's the kind of reason that she's the only marquee in the league, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a reason. Yeah, there's a reason she is, and it's just she's phenomenal to watch. And yeah, it's a tough ask to play against that kind of player.
So predictions for the match then, guys. It is being held late on Saturday night after the Jets play. Oh, sorry, late on Saturday night. Sorry, the Jets play on, the Jets A-League play on Sunday. How do you think the W League team will go, Glenn?
I'll say 1-1 in the hopes that happens. So, 1-1.
What about you, Mitch?
I hope for a massive goal fest. So let's say 5-4 to the Jets.
Far out. Yeah, considering the goals, certainly goals and the Jets is not something you necessarily relate to each other in recent seasons. But I actually think that Craig Deans will tee the team up for a response this week. I think if Katie Stengel plays, that will be massive for the team. The return of Aaron Wright into the team will provide the energy that the presence that we missed last week, and the support as well for Emily Van Egmond. I'd actually keep Claire Wheeler in the team as well. I was very impressed with her. The energy of Taylor Smith as well is something that needs to be exploited and is a strength within our team. So I'm actually going to pick the Jets for a 2-1 win over in Perth. So that's what I'm going for there. All right, well, time to preview the rest of the rounds for the respective competitions as well. We'll start with the A-League. On Friday night, the Brisbane Roar take on Melbourne Victory in Brisbane. Glenn, what's your prediction?
This could go one of two ways out there. Aloisi could get a response from his charges after last week.
Or Roscoe gets sent off.
Yeah, or well, both things could maybe happen. I don't know.
Ross v. Musket. Oh my god.
Yeah, nice. Look, I think Victory are just very strong, and Toivonen's another factor that's coming in now. He's started the season injured, and he's played I think two or three games now, or he's started the last two. Maybe came off one before off the bench, the one before that, and scored and assisted pretty much every time he's been on the field. So it's just another weapon to an already strong team. I feel like Melbourne probably just going to pile on more misery up at Suncorp there. So I'll say 2-1 victory.
Yep, I'm going to go for a 2-0 victory for Melbourne Victory. Mitch, what about you?
I just want to put it on record that I was very sceptical about Toivonen before he came in, and I was so wrong. I think he's the best forward in the league. He is so good. Even when he's not providing goals, he is just providing so much to the team. And then you've got pretty much the most informed midfielder behind him in Antonis, who's arguably the player you'd select to replace Tom Rogic now that he's out of the Socceroos with the Asian Cup, allegedly. So
Tom Rogic as Moy.
Yeah, apparently they're both out injured. So, it's a massive blow. So, Adelaide did okay against Victory last week, and then Victory just dialed it up a notch in the second half. And I think that Aloisi the fraud is going to get caught out, and Victory will overrun them 3-0.
Okay, very good. Mitch, we'll start with you. Saturday, the 15th of December, 5:35 kickoff. We've got the Wellington Phoenix hosting the Graveyard FC.
That's one of the best quotes ever. That is so good. I love that. It's so fitting. I couldn't care less who wins this game. It'd be so boring to watch, I reckon. I hope Wellington smash them 4-0 low.
Well, if it's so boring to watch, then I'm sure all the people will die, and then Graveyard FC will be there. So,
oh, that's good. Did you guys see that Ross McCormack's gone back to Villa for like specialist treatment or something? It's like bloody the scene from Lord of the Rings, and it's So It Begins kind of thing. Like, it is just falling apart.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not coming back. I said it in the chat before. He's not coming back.
You could just imagine Ross McCormick walking into the specialist and coming going, "Hi, Ross McCormick." Sorry.
Very good.
All right, Glenn. Wellington Phoenix versus Central Coast Mariners.
Yeah, Wellington a huge win over Sydney last weekend, which I didn't see coming at all. But that'll just give them another shot in the arm. They travel back home now against the worst team in the league. Wellington 4-0, bode special.
Yep, I'm going for Wellington 3-0 winners. 3-0 winners. and to kill off really any chances for the Central Coast this season.
Saturday, at the start of the season, a lot of people were saying Wellington were clearly the wooden spooners. And the whole time I was saying, I don't understand how the Mariners aren't clearly the wooden spooners to you guys. It was like they've got an NPL side that they brought McCormack in, who was never going to last, and he's already gone.
Is Tommy still playing for them?
Yeah, they've got Tommy Orr and Aidan O'Neill. They were the only people they brought in apart from an NPL side, and it's just glorious to already see that Wellington are already distinctly above them. I love it so much. Yeah.
And there were also a lot of people, for some strange reason, picking McCormick for Golden Boot. Like, you know, you can't make a super person out of a sow's ear. I'm sure, you know, he's not bad, but he's not that great. And he sort of regresses to the mean when you put rubbish players around him. The only reason he banged a few goals away at the start of last season was because he had decent service from quality players around him. So, yeah, no, it's not a surprise to me. It was more a surprise to see people, as you say, pick Wellington dead last, way behind Central Coast. And to even mention Ross McCormick's name before he kicked the ball in that side as a bolter for the Golden Boot was really a head scratcher for me.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't see Ross McCormick banging down any gates or anything like that anyway.
So. Well, he's back at Villa now, so he can, right?
Yeah, let's hope he's got fresh batteries in his remote. It's a Sydney derby. It's a Western Sydney derby. Western Sydney hosted derby between the Wanderers by more than name and nature versus Sydney FC. So, Glenn, what about you? That's on Saturday at 7:30, 7:50.
Yeah. Western Sydney are pretty poor. So Sydney were pretty ordinary themselves last week, but
yep.
I still think they'll have enough to smack their cousins from the West. It's probably, I'd say, 3-0 Sydney.
I expect that Marcus Babbel's suit will not inspire a response, and I think that but I still think a 2-2 draw will be played out between these two teams. And what about you, Mitch?
When you say Western Sydney are hosting, where is that? Is that ANZ or Spotless?
Yeah, it's ANZ.
Yeah.
ANZ. Yeah, okay. So it's
that's
kind
why,
of middle
that's
ground.
That's why I said the Wanderers in more than just name.
Yeah. Wanderers do terribly in this fixture. It's actually pretty hilarious to see, and I don't expect the trend to change. So I think Sydney will walk away with this pretty considerably. I'll say 4-1.
Okay, very good. After our game at 5 p.m. on Sunday is the absolute prime time, and time and fixture that everyone wants to play in. That's 7 p.m. on a Sunday. Adelaide versus Melbourne City. Mitch, what are you thinking?
What a stinker of a time. Who even thought of that? 5 o'clock's bad enough on a Sunday. That's garbage. I'm very offended. I don't even know that this is happening. That's stupid. I'd cancel the game is my prediction. That's not like
I wonder where that rant was going.
Yeah. You've got more chances of parting ways with that maxi bond.
You got more chances of spirit playing.
Shitty time. Terrible. I don't enjoy that.
And there's no reason for
Mitch,
it either, is there?
Mitch, shut up and give me your score prediction. What do you want?
Let's go 1-1 to the VAR.
Glenn?
I think it'll be a draw. Surprisingly, Melbourne City have been doing well without Vaughan Riley, who hadn't fired to start the season, but I was expecting a bit more turmoil from the camp. It seems it might have galvanised the players that are still getting picked, so I think it'll be 2-2 Adelaide and Melbourne.
I'm going to pick a 1-0 Adelaide win myself. So we move on quickly to the W League. Thursday night, we see Sydney FC, who are currently sitting in one spot above us with 6 points as well. They're in seventh versus the third place, Adelaide United. Sydney FC had a massive win last week. Glenn, what are you predicting here?
Yeah, I think Sydney will kick on a little bit here. So especially being more local, it's at Cromer Park, I believe.
Yep.
So, you know, no travel to deal with. Thursday night, so it's not, I don't think it'd be that easy for a lot of the Adelaide players to come up midweek. I suppose a few of them at least have regular day jobs. They'd have to be working around as well. So I'll say Sydney 2-0.
Okay. Mitch, what about you?
Yeah, I think the same. That'd be a tough ask to travel midweek like that. So let's go 2-0 Sydney.
Okay. I'm also going to pick a Sydney 2-1 win. The other game is on Sunday at 4 p.m. This is not broad. This will be broadcast through the Telstra app, and that is the sixth place Brisbane Roar hosting the first place and currently undefeated and 4 points clear at the top of the table, Melbourne Victory. I'm predicting Melbourne Victory to continue their winning ways, and I'm going to say that they will win 2-0. Mitch, what about you?
There seems like no reason they wouldn't, so let's go a 1-0 win to Victory.
The Roar weren't particularly impressive against the Jets, though they came away with the points the other week. Glenn, do you see that form continuing?
I think they might actually jag a draw here. I think 1-1, just to upset a few things and hopefully keep Melbourne Victory within touching distance of the chasing pack. So 1-1.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you everyone for joining us today. Hope that you've enjoyed this preview episode of the podcast. If you want to find us, you can see. As I said before, you've probably found us if you're listening to us. But you can join in the conversation on facebook.com/JetStreamNewey or on Twitter and Instagram. Our handles are @JetStreamNewey. Email at podcast@NewcastleFootball.net, or you can join in the football forums at NewcastleFootball.net as well if you'd like to join in the chat with some intelligent and some not so intelligent people. Mitch, we're not referring to you.
Oh, yeah, I haven't been on the forum in a long time.
I barely go on it at the moment.
Yeah, we know, because we're waiting for responses from the bloody sheep quiz, mate.
Well, one of those people you were mentioning before still hasn't given his answers to the most recent round, so...
I don't know what you're referring to, and I'm not going to go there any further either. So, Glenn, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure as always.
Mitch, and until next time we need a super sub, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dave, and congratulations on the new haircut.
Mate, I set my watch to it. So, for those that don't know off air, I walked in and said to my wife, "What do you think about my new haircut? Does it make me look like Johnny Unitas?" And she looked at me... and as if to say, what the hell? She did say, what the hell are you talking about? So I'm about to go dig out that episode of The Simpsons and put it on. So thanks very much, everyone, for joining us. Get out there, support your team, attend the game Sunday, 5 p.m. We look forward to getting there. If you haven't signed up as a member this year, get in there. Help us break the record. We are within touching distance of 11,300. So hopefully we can break that by the end of this game. Until then, thanks for joining us. Go the Jets.
By myself, Jackals.
There you go. Go the Jets.
Far out. There's quite a few.
There's a haircut you can take your watch to.
It's a classic episode.
It is.
Young
Abe. I'm quite disappointed.
Young
Abe. A lot of Simpsons episode references. Well done, team. Oh, I'm down, Benjamin.